Live from Blackpool Pleasure Beach toilets. This is the Dick Burchett Road Show.
That's a good one.
They're casino toilets now.
Casino toilets, yeah.
It's Dick and Dan. It's cool.
I didn't think of that before. Dick and, it's a bit like Dick and Dom.
He's got the taser out. Oh, God.
That's it. Tase someone dragging them at all.
That is recording, by the way.
Just, oh, is it? Oh, yeah. that'll be on the show.
The following podcast was recorded at Barcamp Blackpool on October the 15th, 2011. Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Flying Handbag. And no, we don't know what it's about either.
All right, so what are we doing?
Absolutely no idea.
How about we sit around and let's talk.
I reckon
about
we all just talk. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I reckon.
So let's go around first and say who's here. So I'm Dan Lynch. Hello.
I'm Pete.
I'm Dan.
Another Dan.
Wesley.
Les Pounder.
Hey.
I'm Tony Hughes.
I'm Michael, otherwise known as Heed.
Heed. Is that from, I've always wanted to ask, is that from the film? Do you know the film I'm talking about? What's the name? So I Married an Axe Murderer.
No, Heed. Dude.
What's the name? Mike Myers film? This is all good content. Do you not know the Mike Myers film? So I Married an Axe Murderer, it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
there's a Scottish guy in it.
Yeah,
and he's got a big massive... He's got a big heat and he keeps going to him.
That's where the nickname came from. Turn up to a new workplace and like, you've got a big head.
So massive heed.
We'll call you Heed.
But there's a bit wherever he says, like, the dad keeps giving him abuse in Scottish, like he's saying, like,
come and get me a sandwich if you can haul you my gigantic cranium.
Right, so we've cleared that up anyway.
That's in the classic podcast tense of we've ripped someone a bit.
Yeah. Yep. So we're at, by the toilets in the Blackpool Pleasure Beach Casino, as Tony just pointed out. It is a casino.
Yeah, we was going to be, what was it,
the
handbag bar, weren't
they? Gold, the toilets? He's been gold.
No, black-tiled.
Black-tiled toilets.
Doesn't show any stains.
The thing is, black tile would show stains. If anything.
It's an experience, isn't it?
Yeah. It's an interactive experience.
I think Dan's got black silk sheets.
How do you know? We're here at Barcamp Blackpool, and I tell you what, why don't we just, like, everyone go around and talk about what your favourite thing you've seen or done so far is. I'll kick off if you want. Or
you can kick off.
You want me to kick off? I found I don't know the guy's name. He talked very quietly, but the guy who did the Kinect with Arduino and little mini helicopter thing, quite cool. Although Aaron pointed out that it looks like you're doing a Nazi salute, which I thought was quite interesting. But that was really cool. But we all sat there waiting the whole session for him to go like that and make the thing move. Yeah. And he talked for about half an hour, and you couldn't really hear him. And we're going,
Can you do that action again? Because that works really well on a podcast.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. So can you do that?
Do that again.
So if you do that, it's
okay. Can you raise your arm up, you mate?
Yes, there you go. For the benefit of the listener, I'm raising my arm.
He's raising his left arm.
Yeah, that's it.
45 degrees.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So what's your favourite thing so far?
I think, to be perfectly honest with you, we're quite, because I was sitting with you with the web thing, I forgot what it's called now.
Oh yeah, web development.
Web development. I quite enjoyed that. And I also liked the guy that was doing the programming. I'm terrible with my memory, so
bad. Alan, was it?
Yeah.
He did the thing with the Pico ball.
Yeah. I thought that was quite good.
Yeah.
But as per usual with these sorts of things, you know, I just enjoyed having a chat with people. Because, in actual fact, we have managed to have a chat with some new people that I didn't know, so that's been quite cool.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Right, other Dan?
So from my perspective, the error messages was quite a fun session. Seeing where we came from, obviously, with World of the Atari, was it? Or the Sinclair as well. Yeah, it was pretty pretty old school stuff, but it's been quite funny being behind enemy lines.
We should point out that, in actual fact, as some of you may know, Dan works for Microsoft, so
that's not me.
We have got not Dan.
That's not me.
I am wearing the wire to take that. For the record.
Yeah. I don't quite understand why he's got all his money to pay for coffees and shit, but
he's slipping something in the coffee. Yeah. He's roofied your coffee. See, this is what happens when you record by the toilet, so it just gets lower and lower, the bar gets lower.
Yeah.
Les, what's your favourite thing so far?
I think today what I've enjoyed the most is the generosity of everyone involved. They've given up time, money, products, everything, just to make the day a success.
Yeah.
That's the shop answer, your proper thoughts.
Yeah.
Proper thoughts, like that error message.
Thoughts are my own and not Barkham Blackpool's.
Yeah. Enjoyed the error message, coming from a long time PC user, it's good to see older error messages like Sinclair Spectrum, which is something I never had an experience of. I was always a Commodore guy.
Okay. Yeah, I had a Commodore 64. So.
Commodore
VIC-20,
Commodore 64.
Commodore 16 I had.
16, yeah.
We had a ZX81, so nice. Spectrum.
Oh, so,
yeah. My mate had a Commodore 64, though. Yeah. And we used to go around there to play a game called Airborne Ranger. I don't know if you ever
remember
that
one.
That was about the most exciting game.
Enduro Racer, I think, was one. Yeah.
There was a Transformers game that I thought was amazing when I was a kid.
Oh, there's an ZX, I think my uncle had it, and I used to play as a kid, and all, you could get the Optimus Prime to go around, hit the button, and transform.
It turned into a car, and then back into a robot. Yeah, it was quite cool. So, sorry, Les.
We talked across your face. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, right, okay.
Sorry, so use the toilets, we're just having a chat.
Yeah, all right. So how's it going then? Because I'm going to kind of interview you a bit now, because you're kind of involved in the whole organisation. So how's it gone for you?
It's gone really well. 155 people confirmed that they were coming today.
Mm-hmm.
And from looking out from here, there's not been many people.
How does that compare to previous years then?
120 last year,
right.
And about 40 to 50 the year previous.
Okay. So things are going up.
Yeah.
The interesting thing for me is I was here last year, and although there may have been less people last year, the people here this year are different. They're not all the same people. Okay, some of the same people are here, but there's quite a lot who are different this year, so it's almost like expanding more, because if it had been just the same group of people plus a few more, that'd be quite different.
Even better. Quite a lot of them the first time.
Brilliant. That's my bag, that is. I love that. So new people, new faces. Yeah.
But you're also seeing talks that are being conducted today by children.
There's a
10 or 12 year old lad out there doing a talk on programming games.
Can't say that about some of them. They looked older than children.
mental age.
It's terrible.
What are you saying about Blackpool? Premature aging.
Well, they just said recently, haven't they, that Blackpool, did you see the survey? Blackpool's got the most expensive accommodation in the country.
Yeah, relative to income.
Relative to income. The cost of living in Blackpool is like higher in turn than anywhere else.
No, have you not seen Les's castle?
Yeah, Les's castle.
Yeah, £4 pounder. Yeah.
£4 pounder. Fire up the cannons!
Hey!
Cool, so Tony, what's your favourite thing so far?
Waking him up at 7:15 this morning.
Can we please rephrase that?
We had to roll over and nudge him in the ribs.
Rocking on the door.
Yeah. No, I think my favourite, as usual, I never get to any of the talks at these things, because I end up talking to so many people.
Yeah.
Like you said, just talking to people, networking, talking to people who don't know what a bar camp's about. A couple of people have talked to
me. That's a vibrator. Hey, drives just starting up.
I think that's that fella's helicopter again.
You'll be doing your filming job on the show later.
He's out there going, it's not turning. It's not
if
turning.
Anything, I'm turning up. That was really cool. You enjoyed that. Thank you very much.
That was quite funny.
Anyway, that helicopter talk is still going on as we speak. Maybe this will be back to the point.
Talking to new people.
Yeah.
Meeting Pete for the first time.
Excellent.
Really?
Right.
Okay.
Even though you were at Odd Camp. I missed you. I didn't get a chance to have a chat with you.
It's
a lot of people at Odd Camp.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, without sort of cutting into your time, but as I said earlier, you know, it's just that many people there. You know, I try to do talks and meet people. Matt, who you all know, I mean, he didn't even get to see a single talk because he spent all his time
socialising. Networking.
Yeah, networking. and like you say, and the thing is about like Odd Camp especially is, you know, there's only so much time, and if you spend half an hour talking to that person, an hour talking to this one, you're bound to miss somebody. So yeah, it's a real shame. So yeah, I'm glad I met you.
Yeah.
Mm.
The other thing, Ubuntu 11.10.
Oh yes,
just successfully installed it on my Acer Aspire.
Right,
okay. The late Git job.
Early impressions.
Early impressions. Actually, a bit more impressed than 11.04 because it wasn't quite as. Mm-hmm. Tweet, but it seems to be alright at the moment.
The fact that Unity actually works now.
Yeah,
it does look like improved. Works,
yeah.
John the Nice Guy was showing me it on his, he's got it on his laptop.
Yeah.
11.10, and he was showing me the new changes to Unity, and it does look good, but I still can't stand that universal menu thing. That's the only thing I really, really don't like about Unity, is that stupid universal menu thing.
Well, that's the thing, I just installed it on a computer for a friend, and basically, I'd turn the unit off and put them back on the normal desktop. Just because it's the first time I've been a user, and it's been a case of, well, keep them on normal, and at least they've got some sort of.
Unfortunately, 11.10, you have not got that option.
No, you're not.
No, you've got to turn it away.
You've got it by default,
I'd move to somewhere else.
So you're going to be on Ubuntu.
Using Ubuntu, sorry.
You're going to have to go to Kubuntu or Xubuntu.
What's kind of Ubuntu doing in the tablet space then?
Well, basically, Unity interface will be what is going to be for tablets. Isn't it?
It will be good on a touchscreen.
Yeah.
So, have you got any OEM providers or that are going to be signed up to?
Well, he really is getting information now. I haven't personally got any OEM providers.
Canonical. It's changing, isn't it?
Well, Canonical.
I bought
a Dell laptop with Ubuntu on it.
My Dell Mini 10 came with Ubuntu on it. Yeah,
but I bought it specifically that model from Dell because it came with Ubuntu, because I wanted to support the whole idea of it.
I bought it because it was cheap.
There you go.
And then
free acid beer. Yeah, that's good.
Free acid and beer.
What's that? £70 cheaper.
Right, I'll have that.
Well, in that case, we should be selling loads, shouldn't we? If people.
But the trouble is, you've hit a good thing there. I mean, that is our mindset. That's not a Windows user's mindset. As soft as it sounds, I don't think a Windows user would look at an Ubuntu machine and go, I can wipe that and stick Windows on.
Yeah.
Because we all know that people have got licenses at home and whatever, and they can do it. And yet, we, on the flip side of that, we're quite happy to do it. We're quite happy to sort of go, well, I'll buy that Windows 7 starter thing and I'll wipe that and I'll put Ubuntu on or whatever.
Yeah, but you've got to think, the average person in the street going into a computer store, they're going to want an operating system on there. Unfortunately, Windows is there now.
I think the problem you've got, though, in computer stores, I'll give you an example, PC World, they're incentivised as a business to sell.
Yeah, so you sell one of our products with Windows, this stuffy doll.
Yeah. There's no one there with an Ubuntu badge saying, it's Ubuntu tablet.
Whereas Dick just goes, let's add another 20% to that.
I'm
not ashamed of it. I mean, you know, I never hide that at all. I mean, it's always bottom line, but we also know that
you go into PC World, they're going to try and sell you the most expensive piece of kit.
Especially if they're on commission.
They won't ask you what you're going to use it for. No. You're going to use it for surfing the web and doing a bit of photo editing.
Yeah.
Mm. And sell you one that'll just do that.
Just to quickly cut in, I mean, Dan and I, and that's Dan from Microsoft.
MS
Dan. We've had this conversation, and seriously, and I think I've said this before, it is an absolutely brilliant game to play. Go into PC World, stand next to one of the salespeople, but do not say a word. You spoil it. If you say anything, just stand there and listen. You will laugh all afternoon.
Yeah, but then you've got to bite your tongue because
you're dying to bite your tongue.
It don't work. And it was really funny because I was speaking to Dan last weekend, and he said, "God," he said, "I won't tell you what he did, but he went into PC World." and he said, "I was listening to him." He said, "You're right." And I said, "I know." I said, it's great entertainment to just stand there and listen to these salespeople. For the shit they tell people, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, average salesperson's got no computer experience in that sense.
It's an appliance to them. You turn it on, you do what you need to do, you turn it off.
But having said that, you see, I mean, I'm just as guilty as that myself because that's what I do.
But I went into the local PC World up the road and a couple of years ago it was, and I was looking for a Turner cartridge for my laser printer, my little brother laser.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see them, so I went up to one of the assistants, and she took me to the inkjet cartridges. I'd specifically said, "Have you got the Turner cartridges?"
Yeah.
And she took me to the inkjet cartridges.
Yeah. I bought an EPC a couple of years ago from PC World.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were buying it, I heard this couple talking about the EPCs next to me. And the salesman goes, "Oh, yeah, yeah, those EPCs, they run something called Linux. You can't get Word on that."
Jump on his head and go, "There you go."
That's how bloody condescending. "Oh, I want to send an email." "Oh, we can use Linux."
You mean they can't sell you Word for that?
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're coming onto another tangent there. I mean, what do a lot of users need? They don't need a lot, really. There's something to some email, a bit of writing, and that's it, really.
Yeah, look at the Chromebooks.
Yeah,
that's all online. You can do whatever you need
Ubuntu,
to.
That's Ubuntu, isn't it? Isn't Chrome OS based on Ubuntu?
Yes.
That's what I was told.
So Ubuntu or...
It's like Ubuntu. I think runs Chrome and plays full screen or something.
Yeah, this latest issue of 2600, you've got your Kindle. Mm. Have you not read the review of one of the guys? Basically, he's had it and he's actually done a review of it, how he found it and stuff like
Chrome
that.
Chromebook?
No, I've not read that.
Basically, it's quite interesting because he said it got to the point where basically Google sent it out to him and said, "Right, yeah, use it for a couple of weeks as a main laptop so we can get usage." He says, "Normally, you were pretty locked on what you could do, but these ones, underneath the battery, there's a switch to put into developer mode, and you can do whatever you want with it." But he says, it was awesome, he got used to working with it, but until one night when his internet went down, then all sort of... He says the hardware wasn't... Everyone's thinking, "Well, it must be cheap to give away," but the hardware was quite decent spec for what you're there.
If you're a Google user, you heavily use Gmail and the docs and what have you, then... It's a great tool for you. Admittedly, when the internet goes down, you're buggered.
Yeah, you're buggered because everything's on.
Although I thought Chrome OS had given you the ability to save stuff to a hard drive if you wanted to.
I would hope so.
You can,
funny, I've heard that, I thought I'd heard that.
A friend of mine used one recently, the Chromebook, because they've got one in the Does Liverpool office, because there's one of the Google employees there, and it was hilarious. He said to me, I was borrowing his laptop or something to do a thing that I needed to run a projector or something, and I said to him, "Well, I've got a spare laptop here if you need to use it," and he said, "Oh no, it's okay, we've got a Chromebook in the office, I'll work on that." And then about an hour later I get a phone call. "All right, mate, how's it going?" "This Chromebook's shite, can I have my laptop?" alright.
My laptop. Google, going for the main target, the average person wants to go on the internet. As far as they're concerned, internet is load Facebook. Web pages, Facebook.
Yeah. But they're also going into the enterprise market as well. They're trying to get skills and businesses.
He said $30 a month.
Yeah, $30 a month.
It'll be a 3-year contract, but you get full hardware support on all the things, and schools will get it at $20. Yeah. So in that environment, then because you're tracked, you're on the network that way, and everyone's got the same. Other than that, it's going
to
be a bit...
Well, they've got the cloud as well, Google, to as you're saying, like, you know, in PC World, Apple or Microsoft or whoever will give the salesman
I think
Google's got the money to say, "You sell some Chromebooks, I'll give you a cut."
One of my customers, like, Gmail user, 90K, they've got users, Gmail user, remain nameless.
Google Apps, is it? Or just Gmail?
They use Gmail, but they use Google App. It's a bit of a convoluted kind of process they've got going on in there because they use SharePoint, Google Sites, Office 2010 and Google Apps. It's a bit of a mixed bag, really.
Mm.
And one thing I've learned with them
is Google, as much as I admit it, they're not really the enterprise-ready organisation they say they are, because they've not got the support to back that, all of that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a prime example. I was talking with Pete. They need Gmail to access their... Sorry, they need Chrome to access their Gmail offline with the functionality. And they was told... Now, I couldn't find this anywhere on the internet because I looked, but they were told that they had to be on the latest stable release of Chrome to be supported.
Okay.
Now, they have a release every 6 weeks, don't they?
Yeah.
So what that means now is they've got a management of all them pushing Chrome out to all of their devices every 6 weeks to stay in supported, the supportability life cycle. And that was... That to them was very difficult to digest, you know.
It would be,
And
a lot of enterprises have said the same about Firefox, haven't they?
Right, because with the new version.
Yeah, yeah. Six-week release cycle. And full release. So
you know, it's great for the consumer market to say, yeah, every 6 weeks you gain new features. Brilliant for the enterprise.
Well, what's saying that about the Ubuntu?
Ubuntu's changing to monthly release cycle. Well, possibly,
we,
yeah.
Sorry. I mean, we discussed that on TDTRS there. I mean, that's exactly what we discussed on our last episode, and the fact that that releases seem to be coming more and more regular, which I'm totally against. I mean, I didn't explain myself well enough on that.
Yeah, but we're on Arch, or it's a rolling update.
Yeah, well, this is what I said. What I should have really done, I sort of blurred the lines really between releases and updates, which I shouldn't have done, because what I was saying, that really I think you should be having six or even a 12-month release on ISO, but you've got your normal updates coming out.
So it's almost like service packs.
Every 12 months is the latest thing. With
or,
the previous 12 months
worth, correct,
so
yeah. Or, snapshot at that time. Or we go the other way and we just go to a rolling release, which... But then again, this wouldn't... Then you would have a problem. Most sysadmins in a business environment will probably have, in a sense, a problem with that, because they'd have to basically run two servers. They'd have to run a production server and a testing server.
A lot of them do anyway. I mean, there's three or four environments.
Okay. Most of the SMEs don't, though.
But, you know...
You struggle to get most of the SMEs to buy a server, let alone have two. I mean, we are in actual fact. I mean, I've sort of semi-discussed it with you, Dan, but like, we're finding lots of them now are going over to virtualisation simply because it's a cost saving for them.
But the likes of the NHS and all that, they want a system that can be installed and stay on there for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
at the minimum. Because they don't want all that hanging around every 5 years.
The NHS has got screwed over by the contracts.
All governments
are
instead of higher authority going, you will have a minimum support for this. Anything above that, you do what you want, but you've got to minimally support this.
I worked in the NHS in 2005, and they were still running Windows 2000.
That does surprise me.
No, but they were running around the
what's important to them is their line of business applications. And they need to be supportable and on different platforms. If they're not, it's an instant holdback for everything else.
IE6, Internet Explorer 6, even Microsoft want to. There's that much infrastructure built on that. They can't, it'd cost them too much to rewrite it.
Definitely. And XP as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that will go to 2014 now, support.
In 2014,
we will no longer support it after that. I mean, we only operate a 10-year life cycle usually, so 5 years mainstream, 5 years extended.
XP
has kind of been the only one, really, apart from Server 2003, I think, which has kind of adjusted that 10-year life cycle.
Microsoft sort of got it right there after Service Pack 2, when it became stable, everyone's like, yes.
And it is, and they're saying internally, you know, the biggest threat to 7 and beyond is XP.
Because a lot of people don't want to change.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm forever selling them, and I sold a laptop on Friday, funny enough, and the guy said to me, he said, it's definitely got XP on it, hasn't it? And I went, and he went, because I don't want that 7 shit. it's definitely got XP. So, I mean, I'm still selling now in 2011, I'm still selling base units and laptops with XP Pro.
Linux has got to learn from is maybe the ordinary user doesn't want
changes.
That's
a really valid point.
Yeah. Maybe from this point of view now, the current people who are using XP now is what they got taught in school. So that's what we know now. So now Windows 7 and 8 get into school, which I've got issues with myself. That them kids are learning that by the time they're in the workforce.
That'll be
Windows 8. Yeah, again, what you see, Windows 15. Yeah,
there's two valid points there. I mean, just to expand on what you just said there. I mean, that's quite a valid point in the sense that maybe is that something that should be looked at of just having a stable release and concentrating on updates and what have you for it, rather than keep messing around every 6 or 12 months. Would that be a valid course to take? I don't know. And you're quite right as well. Some schools do, but not a lot of schools teach Linux. But there's another thing.
For example, my nephew is being given the timetable for what he's going to be doing the next year, roughly. And it's going to be a case of introducing Microsoft Word. Right.
That's seven. Not IT, though,
is it? He's 7. Why does he
That's the national curriculum.
Why does he need to know Microsoft Word at 7 when he could be introducing a word processor?
Yeah.
And just use really text editor or something.
The thing is, I think once you get the basis of the word processor, you know, whether it be Word or whether it be LibreOffice or whether it be whatever, he can make his own mind up when he moves into it. And he's like, I prefer LibreOffice or Word.
In school, just teach the basics.
It's got to be about principles, isn't it? Yeah. The principles of using it rather than the actual specific, this is how you use Word, whatever its version.
I think the problem is our education system, certainly as far as I'm concerned here in the UK, to a certain extent, and if you hear me out, that they sort of turn out robots. And what I mean by that is they will go, there you go, there's a Windows 7 box, and this is Microsoft Office, so that's how you use Word, and that's how you use Excel, so that robot can leave the factory and can go into an employment environment and use that product.
But that's what the universities are saying at the moment. When they're getting students coming to do computer science and to do IT, that they don't, all they know is Microsoft.
Correct.
They don't know a broad range of technology.
I remember my girls at primary school going in down to Sneed and down those Sneed school, and going in, and one of the teachers there sort of going, "Whoa, we've got this new thing, kids. It's called Open Office." And the girls went, "Well, we've been using that for years." And he was like, "Oh, what?" And then of course some others was like, "Well, what's this?" And they did. I mean, I burned them a couple of CDs and gave them the CDs. Yeah. Now I can't see a problem why they can't. I do at work. I can't understand why schools can't use both systems.
Expertise as well. There's plenty of expertise on the market. You know, and we got to remember it's a school. If even has IT support, a lot of it push it out. But if it does, it's going to have like 1-2 people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, well, okay, I need a Windows and a Microsoft expert, but also I need someone who's savvy with Linux, Unix, whatever.
Mm.
You know, it's a very difficult kind of position
to
fill.
You wind up in the skill
base. Exactly, and you know, and they'll always stick to the cost effective, even though the pay licenses, although they are kind of subsidised quite heavily. They'll always play it safe on
there. There goes the hand dryer.
There goes the hand
dryer. Yeah. There's
an disagree with what I was saying, that's it. It's an open source hand dryer.
It's got a beard.
I mean, I don't know if any of you, Dan certainly wouldn't have done, but I don't know if any of you guys saw, I did a post late last night on G+, and apparently LibreOffice now is going to be compatible on Android, Mac.
Oh yeah, cross-platform.
On Android as well, that'd be good.
Yeah. Now that is something that Pete promotes. Mm-hmm. And we all know that Pete's got funny views on open source and Linux and Windows and God knows whatever. But I promote cross-compatibility in the sense that I take the view that I don't see that you require any more of a skill set to put Firefox on a Windows box than having IE9. You don't require any more as such of a skill set to have LibreOffice on there as you've got Open Office. So I take a sort of almost like a passive view of it. I would like to see a Linux box in there, yeah, true. But I'm quite happy to take the passive path and do a creeping scenario. But I've always said I don't want to see Microsoft go anyway. ever. But I think that really choice is what it's all about. And that's all we've ever heard about the
project philosophy, wasn't it? Yeah. If you're not going to get people to change platform, at least
give them a choice.
I think as well, software.
I listened to a podcast recently, a Windows one, obviously, and it did a really nice tribute to Steve Jobs. And for the record, all Microsoft offices had their Microsoft flag at half mast
for that whole week
worldwide. So, respecting the one thing that Steve Jobs said, one thing that Steve Jobs says, and I thought it was quite admirable, he says, and this was years ago before iPods when Apple was released, is one notion that Apple must get out of their head is for us to succeed, Microsoft has to lose.
They need
to get away from that notion. And to be fair to them, they look where they are.
But Microsoft bailed Apple out at one time.
Did Bill Gates actually put
in the 90s?
He needed the competition there. Right?
Various
views on that.
But we all do. I've always promoted that anyway. As far as I'm concerned, we need competition because honestly, you will get bad coders coming in, sloppiness. We will have nothing to benchmark. I've said this before, so I'm just going over old ground again, but we'll have nothing to benchmark against. And that's what I always push for. I don't care what Microsoft does or Mac does or whatever. I do in a sense, but I don't.
If you look at any monopoly, they usually turn out to be shite in the end. The quality goes down. I'm talking about, you look at like BT and people like that. How many of us have had a angry kind of confrontation with BT over them being shit or something? And the post office and people like that.
What's that recently?
You need competition.
One point of failure and the entire network went down.
How ridiculous is that? A little fire in, I think it was Solihull. And half of the UK went down.
Was it half? I had 30%.
It was nearly half. But what I find interesting about that, going up slightly off, is supposedly email was invented in the event of a nuclear war so that we could still have a way to communicate. We have one small fire in Solihull and half the fucking country comes to a standstill.
If you've got a network designed properly, then it could route around the problem. But obviously, they've messed up somewhere in their design.
I think it's just, and you know what? Let's be frank. I mean, Microsoft had massive successes with obviously Win 95 and 98, and you do take the position for granted. You really do, and that's why I think you end up with a sloppy release by like ME.
I cannot understand why these schools, universities, or whatever, are not at least installing alternative browsers and installative packages.
Universities do. That's a big victory. I'm happy with that.
If you're at school, you're on their computers that ordinary students could access.
It was more in the labs.
If you've got in a school where all of a sudden you've got Internet Explorer and Firefox thing, that's two browsers you've got control. Where at least if they're on Internet Explorer on there, they can lock that down as far as they want to stop the little darlings going and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Most of those run through a proxy anyway, though, don't they?
Yeah.
That's my happiest victory. I know others would like to see, they like to see news reports like, the Italian government has taken on 800,000 Ubuntu boxes for their police force. That's cool, but I'm more interested if he turns around and says, they've decided to use LibreOffice.
LibreOffice has sold 800,000 boxes.
I think that's
800,000, right?
Yeah, they've sold them.
Have they? Yeah.
Oh,
joking. You're not selling them now, are you?
The one careful owner. I would have been used.
Grazie.
Right, I've got a question. Going back to LibreOffice and OpenOffice. Now be the time for the OpenOffice brand to be allowed to die off? So everyone seems to be going to LibreOffice now, and you've just mentioned earlier on that yes, it's going to cross platform.
But what you've got to remember there, Ed, is that to a certain extent you're talking about two separate markets, because obviously OpenOffice now is going into the paid for market, isn't it? and Libre is still being used by our open source. I would love to see LibreOffice become the dominant product, but you've got to remember that obviously OpenOffice has got the backing of Sun. So
Oracle handed it off to Apache.
Yeah, Oracle have said they're not interested.
Missed it,
they?
Really.
Yeah.
Miss about
well, Oracle's not an Office suite company.
But OpenOffice did have a commercial arm because it used to have the Star Office brand.
Star Office was a good product, you know. I used that Star Office.
That's going back to our conversation earlier.
I remember when we used keyboards and mouse.
Yeah.
I remember when we had keyboard and mouse.
I remember Star Office. But I think the thing now is, I was quite annoyed when, not annoyed, that's a bit of a strong word, but I was quite, upset when they forked OpenOffice and made LibreOffice, just from a point of view that we were just getting to the point where some of the general public knew what OpenOffice was, and then we went and changed the name, and now nobody's got it. We've gone back to square one, and now we've got to go tell everyone what LibreOffice
is. That seems to be the rules of the game, though.
Yeah,
if anyone outside the Linux community says, I need to get a free office program, they say, OpenOffice.
Yeah, they do, they still do.
Square one.
But it's taken 10 years to get to the point where people know what OpenOffice is and go, have you got OpenOffice?
See, the thing is, though, you've got, but what about the time I'll choose Google Apps?
Yeah, well, that's it.
Where you end up.
Yeah.
It's forked off a different way now, use Google Apps.
Over the weekend, Father, like, he said, I suppose you've got a copy of Office around him, yeah? I said, no, I haven't, but why? Mm-hmm. He said, basically, I'm trying to do something, but for a drinking club he's part of. But
a drinking club? Yeah, that sounds like a good club.
Anyway, basically he said,
the password.
The Office thing I'll give him, it's not working no more. So I said, basically you have a demo version and obviously it's run out. Yeah, so you got a copy? I went, no. But I can give you this LibreOffice. It's pretty much the same from your point of view. Go and install it. And that a week ago now, he came down over there and said, it's been awesome. It's free. You went, it's free. Just
carry on. But I agree with you. Dan Lynch, that's such a valid point.
Yeah, I got really upset when that happened. But from another point of view, I found out since, I'm not involved in LibreOffice development or OpenOffice development, but I found out that, so Sun, although it was under the CCDL and it was open source and all the rest of it, Sun still exerted quite a strong influence over OpenOffice, and a lot of the developers were frustrated. The ones who didn't work for Sun were frustrated because they couldn't get things done because Sun would kind of find ways of saying no, if they didn't like what they were doing. Now LibreOffice is kind of accelerating in development because there isn't a big company going no.
No, you can't do it. Mm.
Yeah, it's actually a true kind of open project.
But to hopefully redress what you were saying about it's taken 10 years for OpenOffice to get to the fore, maybe with the new ability of LibreOffice being on Android and what have you, maybe that, because we all know the explosion of Android apps is just huge. Yeah. So maybe it'll only take 5 years.
Maybe not even that.
Yeah. At a certain point, though, where does it become a problem for Google that they're trying to push Google Docs and all these other things?
Yeah.
Are they going to get to a point where they go, hang on, we don't want this LibreOffice stuff because that's competing with our product?
Well, I've been thinking about that myself in actual fact. I mean, with the greatest will in the world, how much longer is Google going to be prepared to have half of these apps?
Yeah, that's true.
Because there's loads of apps now, and I mean, it's just going to compete with their business. And it's all very well to wave the community flag, and Pete just put both hands up and did the little finger exclamation mark because it doesn't work for a podcast. But it's all very well to have this community attitude, but there is a bottom line to be met. And the bottom line is, well, we've got a free application that basically is doing the same as the application that we want to charge for. And we've got the power to do it, so let's kill that.
It's our train set.
Yeah, it's our train, correct. Yeah. I mean, I love that saying. I love that saying. It's our train set, and we'll play it how we like.
Yeah, yeah. We'll take it home.
Yeah. How are we doing for time? You know, Laz keeps looking at the recorder.
Not a problem, right, okay, but so, battery life is.
Okay, well, this one's going to die as well. So very quickly, so I've got a question for everyone. I had quite an interesting experience yesterday. We're talking about office suites.
Yeah.
We're talking about office suites. Does anybody know what a dot pages file is? A dot pages extension?
Oh, no.
That's Mac, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go. I didn't know that. I was writing an article for some publication, and I sent it to them, and they sent it back. I sent it. Yeah, I'm going like.
Yeah, typing.
I'm doing typing. Well, it wouldn't have mattered.
Sounds like.
There's the. So yeah, I was writing an article for this editor. That's good. That. And I sent it to her, and I sent it in. I converted it to .doc because I knew if I sent it to her in ODF, she'd go, "What the hell is this?" But I wrote it in OpenOffice or LibreOffice, I should say. And I sent it to her, and then she sent it back to me and said, "I've made some amendments." And there was this file attached called with so-and-so dot pages, and it wouldn't open in Google Docs, which I found interesting. It would open in Google Docs, but it wouldn't let you export it to any other format.
All right.
I got it, downloaded it, opened it in OpenOffice, sorry, LibreOffice, I keep doing that. So yeah, it goes back to the branding
problem.
And I can't, that had trouble with it.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, why, you know, after all these years of, like, we fought against Microsoft saying we don't want a different thing, we want a standard format, are we letting Apple get away with doing all this as well?
Well, this is it. I mean, you know my feelings, and it's, you know, it's like, isn't it? I mean, it's the easy target is Microsoft, really. But as I've said over the years as well, you know, there's Mac and there's Google. I mean, you know, Google's not a nice company.
No,
they're not.
It's all very well. They're not.
Don't
be
evil.
But, well, that's me and you, bollocks, for a job with Google.
Google, I've come for the interview. Sorry.
Come here.
Yeah. Stroking a cat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you've come for the interview.
I believe you did a recording of Blackpool once. Let me just play it back to you.
Yeah.
Should be, don't be evil or don't get caught.
But yeah,
well, that's the...
So, I see very, like you say, very few complaints about Apple formats.
Yeah. So, well, something else I've noticed is, you know, the EU brought in this law that all new phones had to have a micro SD slot on them
for charging. That's a European thing to get rid of all the different chargers.
Which is fantastic.
USB,
Which phone hasn't? The iPhone. And they're just allowed to get away with it, and nobody's challenging them.
Because I think they'll move to wireless charging.
I don't think it was a definite thing.
I thought they'd been let them go because they've all got iPhones and they think it's cool.
I don't think it was actually saying you will have it. It's case of we'd like to have it. Everyone's gone fine. We'll just have it because it makes sense.
So I think the basic point here is standards are good. I think whatever platform you use, like you're saying, be it Windows, Mac, Linux, I don't know, freaking BSD, whatever you want, having some kind of standards where I can send you a file and you know what it is and your program's going to read it, my friend, is the most important thing.
Communication. Then it's back to that tribal thing then. Everyone's going to go, well, my tribe doesn't want to do it that way. I want to do it this way. Yeah, but you can't. Oh, well, we are going to do it. And then
we have standards in place for most things, web, you know, for the web, whatever. I mean, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, maybe the open source community needs to take a little step down and accept a standard that has been set, I wouldn't say by Microsoft, but
by someone else,
rather than from our community, because we're all very big on going, "What? Well, no, this is why you should do it." And maybe we should eat a bit of humble pie and go, "Okay, fair enough. We'll accept that standard." And I don't know what it is. So as per usual,
you can keep the standards, but open them up so you can go, "Well, this is a document file. This how it translates into my."
Well, that's been tried, hasn't it? But it hasn't really worked that well.
From a commercial point of view, though, would you want your competitors to know that you've managed to figure out an easier way to compress the data within the file and they can use it?
Talking about file formats, I got sent a Microsoft Works
documentary.
Oh, wow. Deck.
Yeah, it isn't from the
WPS.
Luckily, LibreOffice will open them and let you send them enough, somewhere else.
I got quite pissed off yesterday when someone sent me this file, and I posted on Twitter, just been sent a .pages file, didn't know what it was. And then somebody, some smart aleck, replied to me, oh, it's the new WPS. it's the new .wps from Apple. All right, okay. Yeah.
So, seeing as Liz keeps looking and crying...
Yeah, I think we should wrap it up.
It's about time to wrap up, yeah.
All right, so... anybody got any points they want to make before we go?
Yeah,
go around.
My favourite part, since I missed out on that.
Oh, sorry, yeah. 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 It's because you stood behind me and I can't see you, and I'm like this.
That's even better, just being the auctioneer. The only able to pay £3 for the car park and stuff,
These affluent southerners, they paid £9, though, so they're all right.
Yeah. I had to pay £9 because the fella wouldn't, said he didn't know what Barcamp
was. Yeah, but you tried threatening him and he just.
He's Liverpool, Liverpool. Right, so we try and get him.
This is Blackpool, son.
I won't step on you. We'll bury you in the beach.
I think the fact that you asked him, did he accept hubcaps?
So I won't step on your point here. But yeah, basically what happened was you're supposed to tell the people at the car park that you're coming for Barcamp Blackpool, and you get in for £3. So I drove up and I said to the guy, this old geezer with a clipboard, I'm here for Barcamp Blackpool. And he looked at me all funny. So I said, do you know what that is? And he went, no. The only thing I know is it's £9. £9 to park in here, mate.
And also, what Dan's not said is he tried the. Do you not know who I am, right?
I've got a podcast.
Your favourite thing before we finish. Oh, right, okay, so that was your favourite thing. I didn't realise we got to that. I thought we were. Okay, cool. So. Anybody else got a final word you want to throw in? What we go, Tony?
No, other than that, if ever you're considering coming to one of these events, come along because they're great fun.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
And if there isn't one where you live, start one.
It can be as big or as small as you want,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the mixture of the crowd, I know we've kind of said this already, but the mixture of people in the crowd is really cool. There's people doing textile type stuff, like sewing stuff. There's people making cakes or doing something with a lot of those things.
Catherine's QR code cakes.
There you go, QR code cakes, and there's people doing. I think that's really cool.
Self-advertising cakes.
Yeah.
It is actually, yeah.
And while we're at it, plug for Hub Camp to be in Blackpool.
Should be in the heart of England, mate. In the
middle of England.
Manchester.
I'd quite like to go back to the Maltings if you want on a trip.
Would you?
Okay. A lot of people said the same.
Obviously, it's a way away, but.
I don't think we'll do a camping this year.
Huh?
I don't think we'll do a camping next time.
No, that was an experiment.
To be fair, I do
camping
feel bad
for
about.
Me was an experience.
I heard you and Matt had some
spider problems,
some
and
like
Ryan had to go and sort spider out when you two were stood outside. Going,
yeah, two grown men standing here while his wife had to come and rescue us from a spider.
it's a new millennium, you've got opportunities.
Why were you looking at my wife like that when she was rolling on your tent?
That was something to see.
What?
Yeah, there was a group. I can't say because he's here. He's terrible. That's really bad.
Right, the best way to get a tent down is if you collapse it, you get some throw on it, gets all the air out, you can fold it up. So after about an hour and a half...
You get someone to roll on the tent and it gets all the air out.
After about an hour and a half of watching these two trying to put it down...
So there's six blokes stood in a semicircle watching a woman in her pyjamas roll on this tent. And all of us making out that we're not watching you really.
I could have told you that.
So next time on a Dick Turpin Roadshow, that's going to be on, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is an actual fact. You need to wait for Valentine's Day because his wife will be on.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, apparently so. She's sort of trying to forget it, but I won't.
Yeah, well, she won't get away with it. We made her a promise at Ogcamp. She, in actual fact, hasn't used Linux yet.
Oh,
she has used it daily, but she hasn't used it from setting up type of.
Oh,
installing. Yeah. She'll have to use Firefox.
Yeah.
Office.
So what we said to her at Ogcamp was we'll give you 6 months to, in a sense, train yourself up, and then what we'll do is we'll have you on, and do almost like a from.
What did we call From a total noob to
and
also, yeah, that's a good idea.
And also part of the deal was that you do a presentation.
Yeah.
Right, that's a really good idea.
Yeah. Camp. So we'd record and because, well, it was going to be about April, but I thought it was quite cool, seeing as she's a woman and, you know, Valentine's Day. So we said, we'll do it. We'll do it on Valentine's Day.
He's going to give you a watch out, which sees you next.
Yeah.
You old romantic.
Yeah, so we'll do it on Valentine's and then.
I've got you some CDs. Yeah. Install that.
Yeah. Well, so, because the lady loves Ubuntu.
You get your
you can do a presentation on camp, which would be really
good. That's it, yeah, that's the title. All right, and so I reckon we should all just quickly say goodbye go around. So I'm going to say goodbye from me, Dan. Goodbye from
everyone.
Yeah. It's goodbye from him.
Goodbye as well.
Goodbye, yeah. Goodbye from me.
There you go, that's it for the, what are we going to call this? The flying handbag toilet cast. That's quite
good. We're all because the lady loves.
We'll see you when we find another toilet to hang around.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.